Today's reading is Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 to 14. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. How on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, "Gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so." And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness, cloud, and gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. And he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. That is the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and rules, that you might do them in the land that you are going over to possess. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, as we hear your voice now, please give us soft hearts and write on every word of your law. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
My goal tonight is a simple one, but a big one. My goal is that you leave here tonight convinced that there is nowhere you'd rather be than in church hearing the Bible. Convinced that to be in church hearing the Bible is a slice of heaven on earth. It is that good. As I've been preparing this week, I've been convicted again that I've had too low a view, too small a view of what we do on Sundays. And I realised that I had too small a view because I realised that I don't always come to church expecting it to be a slice of heaven on earth. A good time? Yeah. Interesting? Sure. But a slice of heaven on earth? That good? You can tell that Moses thinks that this is a big deal too, that he has big goals for his listeners. Look down at verse 9 and how he begins. Take care. Don't forget. Tell your children this and your children's children, he says. It's a big deal. As we gather to hear God's words, we experience something supernatural. Every church service where the Bible is read and taught and preached, that is a slice of heaven on earth. And it's my goal and Moses' goal now to persuade you of that. Here's our first headline, gather, verses 9 to 10. Gather. Look down with me at verse 10. On that day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, that's another name for Mount Sinai, Horeb, Sinai. On the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, "Gather the people to me." Why is gathering that dramatic, that big a deal? Because it's God's purpose and God's pattern. God's purpose. God's always been in the gathering business. In Genesis 1, God gathers all creation together. He puts it all in its proper place. He gets the light, the darkness, the heaven, the waters, the land. He puts them where they need to be. God gathers the plants on the land and the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea and the land based animals on land. And then in Eden, God gathers Adam and Eve together in a garden. And life is brilliant. God's people together with God. Sin broke that togetherness, judgment shattered it. And ever since then, we've been disconnected. Disconnected from ourselves, disconnected from one another, disconnected from God. Scattered all over the earth. Then at Sinai, on the day they all stood before the Lord, for the first time since the Garden of Eden, all of God's people were united together, gathered again, a family reunion, a day to remember. Grandkids, come here about the time God gathered all his people back together again. It was a big day. So the Bible begins with God's gathering. The Bible ends with God gathering. It's how the book of Revelation ends, with God's redeemed people, everyone who's put their trust in Jesus, united to Jesus, gathered around his throne, worshipping him. This has always been God's purpose. Because God is one, he wants to have his one people gather together around his throne, worshipping him. Ephesians 1 verse 10, listen to this. God's plan for the fullness of time is to unite, to gather all things in Christ, things in heaven and on earth. So on that day when Israel stood at the foot of Mount Sinai, it was a picture of paradise lost. It was a little bit like life in Eden, and it was a picture of paradise restored. It was a little glimpse of life in heaven. God's people gathered together, God's purpose fulfilled. Notice that God says, gather. God's the one that says that. There in verse 10. God's people don't get together under their own initiative and then ask God to join them. We don't invite God to our church services. God gathers us. God invites us. God brings us into his presence. It's all his initiative. As God gathered his people around Sinai, he showed Israel his purpose in salvation. And he then set salvation's pattern. Gathering is what saved people do. We're saved together, so we gather together. So that was God's purpose, now God's pattern. A generation after all Israel gathered at Sinai, they now gather again in Deuteronomy chapter 4 outside the promised land. What will they do when they go into the promised land? Well, just keep a finger in Deuteronomy 4 and turn over to the end of Deuteronomy, to chapter 31. That's page 200. And 7, page 207, and look at verses 10 to 12. Deuteronomy 31, 10 to 12. Moses commanded them at the end of every 7 years, at the set time, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God, you shall read this before all Israel. Same idea in verse 12. Assemble the people, men, women, little ones, and sojourners. So when they get in the land, what are they to do? Every 7 years, all of you come together. Do you see the pattern? Gather together. The New Testament is shaped by the same pattern. What do the disciples do on the day of Pentecost? Gather together. What does the new church do? They all attend the temple together. When they get kicked out of the temple, they all gather together in Solomon's portico, Acts 5, verse 12. What do people from all the nations do when they become Christians in the book of Acts? They gather in churches. Gathering is God's purpose and it's God's pattern. We were scattered, we were disunited, we were alienated from God and from each other. And God has gathered us in his grace. He has gathered us together through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's joined us to Jesus. He has joined us to each other. We are part of the gathered people of God. dancers dance, singers sing. What do cyclists do? Cycle. What do gathered people do? Gather. Here in Deuteronomy 4, do turn back to it. In Deuteronomy 4, all Israel belongs to the assembly, the gathering of the Lord. And they all belong to the gathering of the Lord, even on the days when they're not actually gathering physically together. The same is true for Christians today. The word church literally means assembly or gathering. And therefore, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus tonight, you are not part of a group of individuals that once a week gets together for about 90 minutes. No, you are part of the gathered who are sometimes apart, Monday through Saturday. We are gathered to Christ. We are gathered to each other. We are gathered together. Is this how you think of the Christian life? Let me at this point say why I think two things are so important. Firstly, church membership. Church membership is so important because belonging to a local church is how you do part of what Moses is telling us in verse 9. It's how you help yourself not forget who you are. It helps keep what God has done in your heart. I belong to this gathering of God's gathered people because God has gathered me in Jesus. And church membership expresses that. If you'd like to know more about becoming a member at AC, talk to me afterwards. Church membership, church meetings. Here's Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read from verses 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of Christ drawing near. Gathering is God's purpose, it's God's pattern, it's his priority. Is it your priority? Don't neglect to meet together. And at this point, let me say something I feel like I have to say about every year. If you know you're going to be moving from Leipzig at some point, there's a job opportunity that you're interested in, or an Auslands semester, or a degree somewhere you're interested in, do not sign the job contract. Do not say yes to the university degree until you're sure there is a good church where you are hoping to go. Until you know that you can gather there with the gathered people, because you belong to the gathered people of God. It is who you are if you're a Christian. Every Sunday gathering, every time we get together in local churches, we are expressing, we are showing our unity with God's people all over the world. We gather because our God is a gathering God, and every time we do this, we are reenacting life in Eden. And we're rehearsing for life in the new creation. Okay. Gathering's important. Have you got it? What do we do then when we gather? What's your favourite part of church? Now look at what God says in verse 10. Gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words. Now here's our second headline for tonight. Gather to hear. Verses 11 to 14. I learned this week that the Bond film Spectre currently holds the record for the largest film stunt explosion. To blow up the bad guy's base in Spectre, they needed 8,000 litres of kerosene, 24 kilos of explosives, 300 detonators. Which part of me goes, wow, how cool is that? Imagine you were there on site the day that that explosion was filmed. Would you ever forget it? Would you ever forget the noise and the cloud and the fire? Surely that would be something you would remember, possibly with a loss of hearing, until the day you died. That is nothing compared to what Israel experienced at Sinai. on the day God gathered his people. Imagine you've been there at the foot of that mountain. Verse 11, you come near, you stand together at the foot of the mountain. The mountain itself is on fire, not just some little fire. It is burning to the heart of heaven. Columns of fire and smoke reach up in the sky further than you can see. Further than you can see, because everything is wrapped in darkness and cloud and gloom. Forget spectre. This is the ultimate blockbuster explosion experience. You'll never forget the fire, never forget the heat, the cloud, the darkness of Sinai. What could be more impressive than that? Verse 12. The Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. Here's the point. We gather not to see, but to hear. And we gather not to see, but to hear. You'd think Israel needed to remember what they saw. The fire, the flames, the smoke, the clouds, the darkness. You'd think that what they saw would turn their hearts to God, to love him and trust him. But what did they see? Well, nothing. Darkness, cloud, gloom, no form. Nix was in. And if you do go back from verses 11 to 12, look down at verse 15. Moses repeats it. You saw no form on the day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb. We don't gather to see something, we gather to hear God speak. Gather my people to me, that I may let them hear my words. Why did God gather his people at the foot of the mountain? What was the centre of their worship service that day? It was when they shut up and heard God's words. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. Let me say this very loudly and clearly. I love singing with you all at LEC. It is such a joy. It is such a joy to hear each other's voices when we're singing. But the centre and climax of our Sunday service is when we all shut up to hear God's word. When we keep quiet to hear God speak as the Bible is read and as the Bible is preached. Gather my people to me that I may let them hear my words. Well, what then about seeing? At verse 9, keep your soul diligently lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen. What about seeing? But in the Bible, again and again, you don't see with your eyes, you see with your ears. Not going to learn that analogy, are you? You see with your ears. Because what have your eyes seen? Verse 11, nothing, it was dark. Verse 12, you saw no form. The Lord spoke, you heard the sound of words. You saw what you heard. New Testament teaches the same thing. This is Galatians 3, verse 1. It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. How did the Galatian Christians in modern-day Turkey, how did they see Christ crucified? Verse 2 of chapter 3, by hearing with faith. Until Christ comes again, we see spiritual things, spiritual realities, with our ears. We gather not to see, but to hear. Every time the Bible is opened, every time the Bible is read and preached and taught, God is letting us hear his words and see him. We gather not to see, but to hear. And that means then that we gather not for a memory, but a meeting. Not for a memory, but a meeting. At one level, these verses can sound confusing. Just look back to verse 10 again. On the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb. That day, remember Horeb, Sinai, that day at Sinai was 40 years earlier. Apart from Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, everyone who was 20 or older amongst the people of Israel had died since that day under God's judgment. Apart from a small minority who were kids at Sinai under the age of 20, No one Moses preaches to in Deuteronomy 4 had been there. So why does he say, on the day you stood there? Here's what's going on. As Moses preaches God's word from Sinai to them, the word from Sinai takes hold of them and takes them back to Sinai. It takes them back to the mountain. Verse 12, the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words. Verse 13, he declared to you his covenant. Same thing down in chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. With us who are alive here today, the Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain out of the midst of the fire. As you hear the Lord speak, it is like you were there. His word takes you back to when it was first spoken, as he speaks it to you again. Not just to those who first received his word. Here is his word to you, to us, today. So that tonight, as NQ read Deuteronomy 4, verses 9 to 14, it might have felt a little bit hot because of the heat wave, but actually, what was happening was we were back at the mountain, at the foot of Mount Sinai, hearing the voice of the Lord in the words of the Lord. God's word is a portable Sinai experience. It is Sinai to go. And actually, it's even better than that. Even better than that. Because for the Christian today, God's word does not take us back to Sinai. Salvation history has moved on. Jesus Christ has come, has lived, has died, has been resurrected and ascended into heaven. This is so important, this bit I want to show us. It's going to require one more little trip into the New Testament. Keep your finger, please, in Deuteronomy 4, but please turn to Hebrews 12 on page 1213. Hebrews 12, 1213. Thank you for turning with me. Hebrews 12, page 1213. From verse 19, the author of the Hebrews is telling his readers that since the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ, when God's church gathers together, we don't go to Sinai. Verse 18, you've not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom. You've not gone to Sinai. Instead, verse 22, you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You're not at Mount Sinai tonight. You're at Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, heaven. And therefore, verse 25, don't refuse him who is speaking today, end of the verse, warning us from heaven. So God's word for the Christian today is not Sinai to go, it is heaven to go. It is a portable slice of heaven here and now, a heavenly experience. As we are gathered together tonight, we are gathered with God's church in heaven. We are meeting God in Jesus Christ. He is speaking to us from heaven. When I was at college, I remember hearing a recording of Reagan's famous speech at the Brandenburg Gate. Who's ever watched that Reagan speech at the Brandenburg Gate? You ever watched it, Johnny Chopin's? You can find it on YouTube. It's actually quite moving to watch, to listen to. I watched it, part of it again this evening. Hearing it moved me to tears. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. But what I heard was ultimately the voice of a dead man. I can remember Reagan tonight. I can't meet him. I can have a memory, but not a meeting. Your Bible is not like that. The Bible is not a dead word. It is the voice of the living God so that as we gather as a church under the Bible, we are meeting God in heaven, and God is speaking to us tonight, just as he spoke to Moses, and through Moses, and just as he spoke at Mount Sinai. So the next time someone asks you how the sermon was at church, whether I preached well or not, here's your answer: it was heavenly. And I'm not joking about that one. It was heavenly. Because every time the church gathers to hear God's words, we're at Mount Zion. It is a slice of heaven on earth. As we close, what are we to do with this? Three things. Number one, really easy. Next Sunday, be at church. Gather to hear. But this does go a little deeper than that. Look at verse 9 again. Gather and hear. That is what we must make known to our children and our children's children. What your children and your children's children need to hear. For which most of you are thinking, what children? I don't have any. And yet, if you're a member of LEC, if this is what you call your home church, you do. You've got about 60 or so kids. They are here almost every Sunday morning. They are not someone else's kids. They are our kids, whom the Lord has entrusted to us as a church family. And God calls us to teach them to gather to hear. Verse 11 again. Teach their children so. So if you're already involved in the kids' ministry at LEC, a colossal thank you to you. Thank you for doing that. If you're not yet involved, could you be? Make them known to your children and your children's children. Gather and hear is what they need to hear. Finally, gather and hear is what we need to hear. Take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Moses thinks it is possible for you and me to forget the unforgettable. The saying goes that what one generation loves, the second generation will assume, and the third generation will reject. I fear that among Christians in Leipzig, we're not that excited about the Bible. And we're not that excited about Bible preaching. We don't love it. We assume it's important, but there are other things that excite us a lot more. And I fear that if we keep assuming this, the generation that comes after us will reject the Bible. And I think we're in danger of doing exactly what Moses tells us not to do. Take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget. Don't take this as a hit on singing. As I said earlier, I love singing, but let me ask a question that's been bothering me. Why are worship nights more popular than preaching? Why do we think that singing is a better way of uniting Christians instead of listening to God speak through the Bible? Singing is great, but remember, here in Deuteronomy 4, God gathers us that we may hear his words. Could it be that we're simply more interested in our own voices than in God's voice? Or that we have forgotten that God's living voice speaks to us from heaven through the Bible? God has been amazingly kind to us in Jesus Christ. He has been wonderfully gracious. We were scattered. We were disunited. So far from him, and he has gathered us that we, confused in this world, lost in this world, hopeless in this world, may hear from our Creator and our Redeemer, our loving Heavenly Father, that we may hear his word and his voice. What a tragedy it would be to let go of such a privilege. Because to be in church under God's word, it is a slice of heaven on earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have gathered us this evening, that was your initiative in bringing us here. We thank you that you've gathered us in Jesus Christ, that you have made us yours and joined us to the Lord Jesus and to each other. And thank you so much, Father, that you are a speaking God, that you are not silent, that you have not left us to find our own way through this world, confused and blinded, but that you speak to us again and again and again. Father, please forgive us where we have not cherished the privileges you have given us. And please, by your grace, by your Spirit's power, would we be those who take care and do not forget what you have told us tonight. That we would be a people who gather to hear your voice until that final day when we are all gathered around the throne of the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.